ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 15, text 6. Na tad bhasayate suryo, na shashanko na pavakaha, yad gadbana nivartante. Tadhama paramam mama na tadbhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavakaha yadgatvana nivartante tadhama paramam mama. That supreme abode of mine is not illuminated by the sun or moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. Purport. The spiritual world, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, which is known as Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavana, is described here. In the spiritual sky, there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, fire, or electricity because all the planets are self-luminous. We have only one planet in this universe, the sun, which is self-luminous, but all the planets in the spiritual sky are self-luminous. The shining effulgence of all those planets, called Vaikunthas, constitute the shining sky known as the Brahma Jyoti. Actually, the effulgence is emanating from the planet of Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan. Part of that shining effulgence is covered by the Mahatattva, the material world. Other than this, the major portion of that shining sky is full of spiritual planets, which are called Vaikunthas, chief of which is Goloka Vrindavana. As long as the living entity is in this dark material world, he is in conditional life. But as soon as he reaches the spiritual sky by cutting through the false, perverted tree of this material world, he becomes liberated. Then there is no chance of his coming back here. In his conditional life, the living entity considers himself to be the lord of this material world. But in his liberated state, he enters into the spiritual kingdom and becomes an associate of the Supreme Lord. There he enjoys eternal bliss, eternal life, and full knowledge. One should be captivated by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to that eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. For one who is too much attached to this material world, it is very difficult to cut that attachment. But if he takes to Krishna consciousness, there is a chance of gradually becoming detached. One has to associate himself with devotees, those who are in Krishna consciousness. One should search out a society dedicated to Krishna consciousness and learn how to discharge devotional service. In this way, he can cut off his attachment to the material world. One cannot become detached from the attraction of the material world simply by dressing himself in saffron cloth. He must become attached to the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, one should take it very seriously that devotional service, as described in the 12th chapter, is the only way to get out of this false representation of the real tree. False representation of the real tree refers to the verses just before this in the 15th chapter of the material world appearing to be an upside down tree. So the real tree is the spiritual world. In chapter 14, the contamination of all kinds of processes by material nature is described. Only devotional service is described as purely transcendental. The words paramam mama are very important here. Actually, every nook and corner is the property of the Supreme Lord, but the spiritual world is paramam, full of six opulences. The Katha Upanishad also confirms that in the spiritual world there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, or stars. Natatra suryo bhati na chandratarakam. For the whole spiritual sky is illuminated by the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. That supreme abode can be achieved only by surrender and by no other means, as just stated in the previous verse. Previous to that. This verse in Bhagavad Gita describes Mayapur Dham. So, if anyone thinks or asks you that, well, what is this Mayapur? It's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Of course, not everyone will find Mayapur Dham in Bhagavad Gita, but this is the spiritual world. This whole land of Bharatavarsha, nowadays known as India, is full of many tirthas. Tirtha means suitable place for crossing from here to there, from going from here, the material world, to the spiritual world. But Mayapur is not a tirtha. Mayapur is a dham. It's not a place for crossing into the spiritual world. It is the spiritual world. There's a difference between a tirtha and a dham. This is the abode of the Supreme Personality of God, eternal abode of the Supreme Personality of God. Manifested in the material world, is fully Satchidananda, just like Vrindavan, from which it is non-different. When the whole material cosmos is annihilated, this remains. To ordinary eyes, it appears as part of West Bengal. There's a post office, has a PIN code number. So if you ask where Mayapur is, you can get the PIN code number and send a mail. And there's a police outpost. So it's all mapped out, it's all surveyed, can be seen by material eyes, can be described. What is the population, the demographics? It's a lot of Muslims and Ghoshes, caste is prominent in this area. But that is seen by materialized, yeah, it seems like. How will materialists understand? They won't understand that everything here is transcendental. The earth is transcendental. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, everything here is transcendental. It's not. It doesn't seem to be possible, because if we describe by material, scientific means, we can see that the air that blows through this dham, well, it comes from outside the dham and then it goes off outside the dham. So how it's the same material constituents. You could capture some of the air and analyze it chemically. What's the constitution? So much nitrogen, so much oxygen. But this is not the way to see the dham. The dham can be seen by the mercy of Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu, the Lord of the Dham, and by the mercy of his devotees who reveal the Dham. In the modern age, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he, among his many contributions, was revealing the holy Dham of Mayapur. First of all, ascertaining that this is the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by revealing from Shastra his vision of the Dham, describing in his various books the nature of the Dham. It's not a material place. All the Tirthas are here. They all come here to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're all present here. All the great devotees are present here. All the forms of the Supreme Lord who manifest in this world, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha, they're all present here, worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and assisting the devotees in their endeavors to serve Mahaprabhu. They're also revealing the Dham to devotees. In this song which we just sung, this Kirtan of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives the method to enter the Dham. It is not possible to enter the Dham simply by walking into it or driving into it or parachuting into it or any other method that one may attempt to enter it. Of course, anyone who enters by any means, they are benefited by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But to fully gain the benefit, one has to consciously desire to take the gift which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world for which purpose? That is described by his biographers. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also describes Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu jibe daya kare shaparshada shiya dhama saha avatari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very merciful to the fallen souls, descended from the spiritual world with his associates and with his dham. Now that's a mode of speech to say so, because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in his dham, we say he's descended into the material world, but actually he's eternally present here, which is the spiritual world. So sometimes he manifests his pastimes for everyone to see, and other times not seen very clearly. But those who have the eyes of love, they can see. Adapiho jailila kore gaurarai kono kono bhagyavane deki pare pai. Even today, those who are very fortunate, they can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performing his pastimes here. They're still going on. It's his dham, it's his eternal place. So it's not that we can pack Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into a box and say he was born in... You can maybe find some Wikipedia entry which says he was born in 1486. So yeah, he appeared in the Christian era, 1486. Although no Christian era was known of that at that time. Nor was Christ known or any such thing in Navadvip at the time. So he appeared once in every day of Lord Brahma. Krishna comes to this universe directly. Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, and after him comes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But otherwise, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are always going on here, And those who have the eyes to see, they can see. The eyes to see come by hearing about Him. Otherwise, if we don't hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we may take it just... different people take it in various material ways. Those who are... I don't know exactly, but I can imagine the West Bengal Electricity Board, they see it, how far does the grid go, and I think it covers everywhere now. Until recently, it wasn't everywhere. It's everywhere now. Last time I went, which was a few years ago, to Rudrapara, they didn't have it there. They were quite happy at the Gauriya Math there. It's good, we don't have electricity. They're quite happy. And we can do bhajan nicely, they thought. That original deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was worshipped by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati when he did his Shatakoti Nama Japa Jagya. That same deity is there, not in Sri Chaitanya Math, or in Rudradweep Gauriya Math is there. So anyway, the West Bengal Electricity Board, they'll have a map and as they put the lines over the Ganga, and you have to keep the electricity pylons a long way away from the Ganga because Ganga is always changing. They have to consider in so many ways, but that's not the way to see the Dham. Of course, right, Bengal Electricity Board, they'll all be Bengalis, so they all... even if they're superficially atheists, they all have a feeling for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's very fond of the Bengalis, and even if they try to be atheists, some of them are pretty good at being atheists. Now it's going out of fashion. The communist era, thank Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is over here. But it's very difficult for them. They can't not like him. Difficult for them to not. So the real way to enter the Dham here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has shown us the way. What is the attitude of a devotee in coming to the Dham? He says he's praying for the day when in Gauraban, which is the forest here, there's not much forest here. Is there any forest left? When I first came here in the mid-1970s, there was still some forest. Still there's some wooded areas. There's a forest, and there were these Adivasis with bows and arrows also at that time. Naked with bows and arrows. I don't think that's there anymore. So anyway, seeing Suradhuni Tote, Ha Radhe, Ha Krishna. So this coming here in the mood of being completely only one focus to get the mercy of the Dham. There's no record of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although he lived just on the other side there, and in Godrumadweep. There's no record of him actually going to the houses of so-called dog eaters and begging food, all these things. There's no actual record of him doing that. But the attitude of simply we're here to beg the mercy of the Dham, of the Dham Vasis, of Dhameshwar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and with a specific goal in mind also, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Shaparshada Shia Dham Shaha Abhatari, Atanta Durlabha Prema Karibare Dan, Shikai Sharanagati Bhakatir Pran. He came with a specific purpose of all the avatars of the Supreme Lord and Krishna, Avatari himself, they come. Yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata bhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shujameham paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata dushkitam dharmasansthapanata sambhavami yuge yuge. So in short, He comes to establish dharma, which in a broad sense can be understood to mean varnashram dharma, ultimate dharma is prema dharma, but it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who gave this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a book called Jaiva Dharma. Dharma that is for jivas, that is not for non-jivas. So what is the meaning of the Jaiva Dharma? It means the dharma for every jiva. What is that? It's not that one jiva is meant for this. No, everyone is meant for loving Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially came for this, giving prem. The process he gave, there was a process how to do that. Shikai Sharanagati. He taught the process of taking shelter of Krishna. There's a process. It may seem strange how there is a process to love Krishna, because we're all constitutionally part and parcel of Krishna. We all have a natural relationship with Krishna. So it would seem that it's a very natural thing to be a devotee of Krishna. And it is. But we are so removed from that, that we require to be trained in it. It's just like someone, different medical examples can be given. Someone has amnesia. So they have their father, their mother, their wife, their children, their home. They don't remember anything of it, so they have to be reminded again and again and again. And then gradually, you're my wife, what was just completely normal and natural for them, they have to be trained in it because they lost it. Or just, for instance, if one has some injury, then he may need to have physiotherapy too, so that the natural function of a limb can again be revived. So it's natural for us to love Krishna, but we're in a very different state of consciousness. Viparita, viparita buddhi, viparyaya smritihi. So we require some training for that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives that, the Sharanagati. Of course, Sharanagati is not something that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invented. It's even from the chronological, historical point of view, it's not a term that he first started discussing or preaching about. This term is very prominent in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, particularly, but all Vaishnavas. The very meaning of being a Vaishnava is to take shelter in Krishna. Sharanagati means the way of taking shelter in Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his special contribution is Krishna Prema, Shikai Sharanagati. Atantar durlabha prema karibaridam, for the sake of giving very rarely attained prema. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this, he manifested his dhamma. That prema especially means vraja prema. Aradhyo bhagavan vrajesha tanayas tad dhamma vrindavana. Ramyaka chit upasana vrajabadhu vargena ya kalpita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is worshipable. Krishna, particularly in Vrindavan, is worshipable. He's not different from Krishna in Mathura or Dwaraka, but especially he who is known as the son of the king of Vrindavan is worshipable. His dham, his eternal abode is Vrindavan. And the method of worship conceived by the women of Vrindavan, that is the best. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. And even more specifically, we'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita and encapsulated in one song of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contemporaries, associates. He sings, Jodi Gorna Hoito Tobe Ki Hoito Kemone Dharitamde. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not appeared, what would have happened? How could it have been? What would have happened? It would, well, we know the answer. It's Janma Mrityu Jaravyadhi Dukkha Dosha. It's just the material world is going on and on and on. How could we have lived? How could we have maintained our life? Why is that? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Mahima Prema Rasa Shima Jagate Janatoke. Who else but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have revealed to the world the love of Radha, which is the ultimate limit? It's unlimited, but it's the ultimate limit of prema. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give this and more so, further described that Madhura Brinda Bipina Madhuri Prabesha Chaturisha Boraja Jubati Bhavera Bhakati Shakati Hoitoka. He further states that the entrance into the beautiful sweet groves of Vrindavan, that is the ultimate attainment. Particularly the young girls of Vrindavan, their bhava bhakti, their feelingful devotion. Who could have given this but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And this Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is giving the clue to come to this dham, Navadvipa dham, in the mood of utter humility, utter surrender. If one is in that mood, then by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, by the grace of the air of Vrindavan, the water of Vrindavan, the creepers, the plants, the living beings, all living beings, even the jackals and the mosquitoes and all the, by their mercy, then the actual nature of the dham will be manifested to one's eyes. One will see actually what is the dham. We can see now rickshaws are moving on the road, buildings are being built. But one who is blessed, he can see that this land is non-different from Vrindavan. And then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in particular, that is his aspiration, that by the mercy of the dham, dhamer sharup shuribe nayone, he will see that now I've become the servant of Radha, particularly the maidservant. He is in, he is the younger servant of the servants of Srimati Radharani. So it's a very confidential topic, but this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. we can come to Mayapur and eat chow mein. You can get in there. If you want, you can do that. There are all kinds of things you can do here. There are people who live here, especially some of the teenage children of devotees from the Western countries, who they live here and they spend a lot of their life on the computers, and they have, so I've heard, illicit sex and intoxication. You can do that if you want, but then you won't. Even then, anyone who does that, just by being in this dham, they get some mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if we have to become attuned, tune ourselves into that mercy. We have to want it. Tatra lolyam, apimulyam ekalam. You have to desire that. So that desire comes by hearing. First is hearing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is famous for kirtan, chanting and dancing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always dancing, just like we eat food and we sleep, eating, sleeping, all the... For Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, daily activity is chanting and dancing in ecstasy. It's a very normal thing for him. Of course, he never thought it as normal, because it's all... bliss doesn't seem normal. In this material existence, bliss doesn't seem normal. Sometimes I say, oh, do you remember that ecstatic kirtan? Oh yeah, 25 years ago. But it should be every day. Every day is meant for ecstatic kirtan. That is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is daily experiencing that, and he's inviting us. Srila Prabhupada so much wanted to invite the devotees from all over the world to come here to Mayapur, where you can chant and dance anywhere. And we should chant and dance everywhere, but particularly in this place. This is completely saturated with the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing. Every grain of dust is touched by the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You say, no, no, that's not scientific, because you see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is 500 years ago and the dust must have blown away or got washed away in the flood. Anyway, you go to your science class. And we'll go to the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every grain of dust is touched by the lotus feet of Chaitanya. Gaura Padankita Dham. And by all his devotees, every one of his devotees is fully powerful to deliver the whole universe. Brahmanda Tarite Shakti Dhare Jane Jane. All of the devotees, lists of devotees. Some of them, they're only mentioned in the list. There's so many. They're all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're all as powerful as he. Every one of them can give love of Krishna to the whole universe. Gorangara Shongi Gone Nitto Siddha Koremane. Tar hoy Shai Radha Madhavantarang. Whoever accepts that the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're all eternally liberated. They're not someone was born in West Bengal and you can trace their family line, their gotra, and go back to Lord Brahma. There's so many people are born uselessly. They born and die, but the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're all eternally liberated. So this is the land of gurus that Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj would say, that the Vrindavan is the land of gurus. Everyone there is a guru. Everyone is a great pure devotee who has there here in Vrindavan. Here in Mayapur, there's dancing. And in Vrindavan, there's the central activity in Vrindavan is music and dancing, that's Rasa Leela. And here also music and dancing is Kirtan Leela. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. He's dancing. He's always dancing because that's the manifestation of ecstasy, is dancing. It's not that, okay, let's have a dance, but it just automatically comes. One hears about Krishna, one chants the name, and automatically one wants to dance. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was severely chastised by the Mayavadi sannyasis of Varanasi. What are you doing? You took sannyas. I mean, even an ordinary brahmana, grihastha, he doesn't jump around on the streets singing with a bunch of low-class people. And you're a sannyasi. You need a little education here. All this singing and dancing. What are you doing? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, I'm sorry. My guru told me to do it. And I can't help it, actually. My guru told me to chant the holy name. When I chant, it's not that I'm deliberately doing it, but I just can't help it. I'm just dancing automatically. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's invitation to us all to come and sing and dance in this holy land. Srila Prabhupada said that the devotees in the Western countries, they're in that contaminated atmosphere. So they should come every year and chant and dance here in Mayapur and bathe in the Ganga. Then they become purified from all that contamination and can go back to again preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadanti. Come. We pray for the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami, who has revealed the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodar, he knew. He didn't say. Rupa Goswami knew. He revealed it. So the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is on their Hridayaman Moramon Vrindavan. His heart is Vrindavan. He's in the mood of Radha, pining for Krishna. So that's one aspect of his heart's desire. Another aspect is Priti Vite Ache Jato Nagaradigram Sabhatta Prachahoibe Moranam. Another aspect is to have this chanting and dancing in every town and village of the world so that every town and village of the world can become just like Vrindavan, just like Navadvip Dham, just like the spiritual world, where there's no envy or politics or mundane desire. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy should flood the world, just like the Ganga comes here and floods very often in the rainy season, toward the end of the rainy season. The whole land floods. So in the same way, here from this dham, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to flood the world with Krishna prema. Specifically in the mood of the Vrajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan. And by the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. So, please everyone, while you're here, be conscious of the opportunity. Whatever devotional service is performed in Mayapur Dham, that is magnified. Of course, it's all unlimited. It's not measurable. But still, whatever devotional service is performed in the Dham is magnified. When I first, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, in this lifetime visited this holy Dham, I heard that Srila Prabhupada had said. It's not, you won't find it in the Veda base. But I heard that Srila Prabhupada said that for a brahmachari, the best is to live in Mayapur Dham. But even better is to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. So there's best and there's better. So come here and then bring that all over the world. So on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, I can welcome you all to Mayapur Dham. You may say, well, how can I welcome you? Because I just came myself. But as Tamal Krishna Goswami said to me once, when I just arrived in Mayapur Dham, he said, welcome home. He said that Srila Prabhupada had told him, who first got this land here for Prabhupada, he fulfilled Prabhupada's desire to have a center in Mayapur. At least he made that possible, first of all. So he said that Prabhupada had told him that a sannyasi has no home. For a sannyasi to have a home is a contradiction. He's supposed to be aniketa, sthiramati. He's supposed to have no home and a steady mind. But Prabhupada said, sannyasi is no home, but Mayapur is the home for Gauriya sannyasis. So welcome home for all of us. It's not just for sannyasi. You don't have to take sannyas to come to Mayapur. That's another of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's open, Krishna bhakti is open to everyone. So take advantage here. Bathe in the Ganga. Don't think the Ganga, well, we're chanting Hare Krishna, there's no need to bathe in the Ganga. The Ganga's always bathing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He likes to bathe. Every day he has his pastimes at the Ganga. Ganga was flowing. It's flowed in such a way that she comes here. Bhagirath was charging east, went all the way north of Mayapur, and then had to take a 90-degree turn. So in this way, Ganga came to Mayapur. She wanted to go through the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, she's eternally flowing here. His pastimes are eternally here, but she manifested here, being brought by Bhagirath. Otherwise, she could have turned around and come back. If you see the route, she has to come down to Ganga Sagar. So she'd gone way past, she'd off shooting off. But she turned here. And then she came to here, and then Janu Muni drunk her. And she could be quite okay, and then I'm here. But she has to come out, she has to flow, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu... Well, one thing, she has to be taken to Ganga Sagar. Another thing is that she has to go to Kapila Ashram. Another thing, she should always be flowing here for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to perform his pastimes. And for devotees to come here, generally people take bath in the Ganga for deliverance from sin. Ganga is famous as Patita Pavani, she who purifies the fallen. But here in Mayapur, she is Prema Pradayani. We shouldn't, bathing here in the Ganga, we shouldn't think, let me get rid of all of my sins. We should pray for the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose foot dust is mixed up with the Ganga here. That just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives pure love of Krishna, you bless me with this, what he has come to give. There's something I'll just... Oh, we're over time. I'll say later. Krishna willing. So we'll finish now and go to the temple. And Krishna willing, have darshan there. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Let's thank Bharat for chanting Hare Krishna very loudly, please.
No, actually what you can do is, you can have kirtan. That's what Prabhupada used to have at the end of classes. In the early days of ISKCON, he'd have kirtan before the class and kirtan after the class. So, Prabhupada would say to his disciples, "Thank you very much." So you don't have to say to me, I should say to you.